Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda. Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from 2 and everything in between. I'm Tiernan, and there is no time for messing about this week because there is so much in the mailbag from you all that I have to immediately start reading it. So, here we go. Okay, first up, we have had this very nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts from Tigfidigigig, which I think is how it's pronounced, unless it's an Irish name, in which case it might just be Thomas. And they say, Tiernan is the best. Well, thank you very much. And they say, hello, I have just found out that I'm a zebra and I eat hot dogs every day. And I know a person who wants to clean the stinky hippo cage. His name is Jerry. He'll be here any moment. Bye-bye. Well, thanks for saying I'm the best, Thomas. That is very kind. You don't say what I'm the best at. I might be the best at being the worst, which could be awful. I could be the best at balancing a spoon on my eye, which I don't really want to do. But thank you. It's still very nice. Well done on finally finding out you are a zebra. How did that happen? Was it when you tried to cross the road at zebra crossings and no one could see you or said congratulations on your crossing? Or was it when you were constantly being hunted by lions? Or was it when other horses said you dressed really funky? Either way, thank you for the review, and I guess, hey, I'm really excited to meet Jerry. Any moment, he's arriving at any moment. That could mean in a few days or a few hours. Who really knows? I guess I'll just get on with reading the mail until he arrives.
Heyo, Jerry's here!
Oh, hello.
That's right, he's Jerry!
Great, well, it's nice to meet you, Jerry. The hippos are just through there, in the fridge.
Hee-hee, I can cleanse them and get my special magics working again.
Yeah, I don't really know what that means, but you go right ahead. Thanks, Jerry. Right, sorry about that, everyone. Next up, Positive Reviews Only Please from the US left this Apple review. That's a very long name, isn't it? Positive Reviews Only Please. But it's very nice that someone from the Only Please family listens to the show. So thank you for that. And they said, yes, just yes. And then there's lots and lots of emojis of shrugging people and hearts and laughing faces. Well, thank you, Positive Reviews. Yes, just yes. What a nice thing to say, I guess. Unless, of course, the answer is no. You know, what if the question is, would you like an ogre to eat your knees with some cheese? Well, probably no. But I guess yes is also a useful answer if you did want that to happen. So maybe I agree. Thank you. Now, next we have
It's worked! It's worked! It's worked!
Jerry, what are you doing?
We is going through the times.
Jerry, why are there lots of knights fighting each other out of the window? Well, actually, I guess those hippos are smelling nicer, so I can't complain. I can't really complain about all the knights fighting out the window. Right, I better keep on with the mailbag. I haven't really got time for all this nonsense. Then, Eloise.com has sent in this nice Apple review that said, I'm so shocked that you read my message out. I had a break and listened to David Williams' podcast. I love this. 42 out of 10. Whoa. Wow, well, 42 out of 10, that is quite an amazing mark. Again, I don't really know out of 10 what. It might be out of 10 smelly feet. It might be out of 10 of the worst reviews ever. Who knows? But I'll take it as a good 42 out of 10. I am slightly worried that by me reading this message out, you'll be even more shocked, and then you'll go on to listen to someone else's podcast again. And then what if I keep reading out all your messages? Will you only ever listen to someone else's podcast and then never actually hear me reading the messages, which will mean that you will listen to the podcast because you won't know I'm reading your messages on it, but then you'll hear them and then you won't listen to it because I will be reading your messages out. This is very confusing. Thanks, Eloise. I do hope David Williams or William Davids is playing this podcast on his podcast so that you can hear this.
This is not so clean.
Jerry, why out of the window can I see the sea and some angry pirates? Jerry! Wow, those hippos really do smell great. Well, he's obviously doing a good job. Okay, last ones for now. .. pointy hand in the United States says, I like this, 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 and also I like this. Well, .. pointy hand, I'm not really sure what you're trying to say there, but thanks. Ha! Joke! Thank you so much for liking the show. And Sandy Squirrel in Australia says, I like your show, so I love your show a lot. Thank you, Sandy Squirrel. I had no idea squirrels went to the beach, let alone listen to this show while they did. I'm very glad we've got some squirrel listeners out there. I bet getting sand out of your tail is very annoying, isn't it? And burying acorns in the sand is probably very tricky when you need to find them again and a crab's stolen them or something. But thanks for getting in touch, and I hope you've had a lovely time at the beach, and thank you for writing your nice review. If you would like to review the show, then please ask your fart fermentation chambers, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you write a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Amazon Music. You can, of course, always get them to help you email me too at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk with any questions you need to have answered or anything else at all. And if they fancy it, those same grown-ups can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition for a small monthly fee over at Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus or patreon.com/comedyclubforkids. Please also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk to find out where our live shows will be and loads of other stuff too. And if you haven't heard last week's podcast yet, do tune in so that you can enter the competition to win some of the Beasts of Knobbly Bottom books. Okay, those hippos. Wow, I have to say, they are smelling great. Jerry, why is there a T-Rex pulling faces at me? Jerry! Oh, I've got to find out what is going on. And while I do that, you listen to this most importantest bit.
Time. We all wish we had more of it.
I am very pleased that returning to the podcast today is the mighty Joe Wells, a.k.a. Jojo, who can identify anyone by their smallest toe, a.k.a. Jay Wee, the ultimate frisbee referee, or as all of our listeners who speak static know you... But, Joe, you are very well known for your ingenious idea to wear a suit with double yellow lines on it to stop cars parking on you, for successfully finding the end of a rainbow, and most famously for being the official voice of Alexa. Joe, how are you? It's so nice to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you for recognising my rainbow qualifications.
Yes, it's you are the only person... But I understand, and maybe I've got this wrong...
Well, what you do is you start in the middle,
right,
and then you keep going... Just keep going and I'll get to the end of it. That's how I did it.
So you didn't.
I can't believe no one's ever thought of it.
Right. So you started in the middle. So you had to travel quite high up, I guess. It's normally quite high.
Well,
up
you can start at any point. Start at any point, and then but I start in the middle, and then you go either left or right, and then just keep going until there's not any more rainbow, and that's where the end is.
Wow, and can I, what was the end like? Was it exciting? Was it worth it?
No, but underwhelming. Underwhelming, actually.
Right.
Yeah, it's a bit like Chessington. I thought it was going to be very exciting, but then when I went, I found it a bit underwhelming.
I do have to check. Do you mean Chessington World of Adventures, or did you just go to Chessington, a very normal residential area? Because it's not
as
fun.
Oh, that's the mistake I've made.
Yes, yeah.
I was told there'd be roller coasters. There was houses and a little shop.
Yeah, and people get really angry if you ask them where the rides are and, you know, if you sort of try and... Like Chessington World Ventures has Professor Burp's Bubble Works, but you can't just walk into people's houses in Chessington and run a bath. They don't
know.
No.
That's the mistake I've made. Yeah.
So the end of a rainbow is like Chessington, the residential area.
It is. Yeah. Underwhelming, no roller coasters. But yeah.
That's a shame. Because I thought the whole sort of chat about Ends of Rainbows is that's where there's like a pot of gold there.
Well, I didn't find any. No, I just found a post office and a couple of sort of gastropubs. But wow. Maybe different rainbows. It's only a few rainbows I've been to the end of.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose it depends where the rainbows are because they're often in different places. And I guess it depends on what's at the end of them. Maybe someone who found the pot of gold originally, that rainbow just happened to start or end at a pot of gold. And that was that.
Yeah, it's not my main thing. I'm focusing on the comedy now.
Sure.
Career-wise. But there was more of a sideline finding the end of the rainbows. But yeah, they will be different depending on where you are.
It's a shame it's a side. But I mean, you have done so much. Obviously, I know you say you're focusing on the comedy, but you have got, you know, quite the history. You've done many, many things. And comedy almost seems like something you do for fun on the side of, you know, identifying people by their smallest toe or all the other many things that you do.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, I can identify people by their smallest toe. Yeah, it's a little bit of a party trick, isn't it? I think anyone could do it. If you describe a small toe to me, then I will, I'll tell you who they are.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, that's quite a challenge. Okay. Sort of quite a stubby little small toe, but with quite a long toenail and three hairs.
Three hairs?
Mm.
Oh, okay. So, sorry, four hairs. I was thinking of someone else. But three hairs, that will be the footballer Marcus Rashford.
Wow! That's amazing.
But you don't expect him to have a stubby because he's like an athlete. You don't expect him to have a small stubby toe. That's what's quite surprising about it.
That is surprising. I wonder, do you think football shows? I don't know if he takes part in football. I suppose, is that what, that's a nice name for calling football matches, isn't it? I'm going to the football show today.
That shows that we work in theatre.
Yeah. There's a big cast on these football shows. I think there's 22 men and they all do different dancing moves.
Five minute sections and an interval in between.
That's lovely. Yeah, lovely. You can get snacks. I was going to say football shoes. Football shoes always look quite uncomfortable. I've never really worn football shoes. Football trainers. I don't know what you call them either.
Maybe that explains his small toe. Yeah, so I thought it was kicking the ball, but you probably kick the ball with your big toe, don't you?
Unless that's
I don't know a lot about football, but maybe that's his special move, and that's why he's so good, is that he kicks it with his little toe, and it's all psychology football, isn't it? If you can kick the ball with your little toe, people are expecting you to kick it with your big toe, and then it goes off at a different angle. That's why he's one of the best.
That is amazing. That must be, and it probably intimidates everyone on the field as well. So like, wow, that was a little toe kick. I don't think I could do that.
Not just a little toe, but a little toe as well.
Yes, a little toe. Yes, the smallest of small toes.
It is a small toe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean, that was impressive, Joe. You did that very quickly, even though I know you were slightly thrown off by the amount of hairs, but that was very quick. Very quick. Can I give you another one? Is that rude?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. It's a little toe, but it's the same size as the middle toe. It has a very small toenail.
Oh, Beyonce. You're talking about Beyonce.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That was
very,
because really
Beyonce famously, I hope this is okay, a very beautiful woman, but she has very unusual toes. That's what's surprising.
Right. Is that right? But that must sort of help her with her dance moves.
Yeah. That must be what it is.
Mm. Yeah. And also, like, she's constantly warning people they're not ready for jelly. I wonder if that's something to do with maybe her toes mean that she's sort of quite unready. Like, she's not ready for wobbly surfaces with toes like that.
Yeah, if you listen to every Beyonce song, it's all the subtext is always there. You know, she's talking about other things, about sort of lemonade or whatever, but the subtext is always she's talking about toes. Really, that's the metaphor.
Wow, that's I'm really gonna have to look back through Beyonce songs now. I can't really think. I know. Our listeners will be too small to know that years and years ago she was in a group called Destiny's Child, and they sung about getting on the bus, and I'm guessing they got on the bus because walking was difficult with such unusual toes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But they didn't really let their little toes hold them back, did they? They were survivors.
They were survivors. That's right. They were survivors. They kept on surviving. So, yeah, you're right. It's, Joe, this really gives me a different insight into all these people knowing about their little toes.
Yeah, it's not talked about much, is it? The sort of the toes of celebrity. I mean, it's a coincidence that the two toes you described were celebrity toes. I assume you did that on purpose. It wasn't just that you described a toe and I go, oh, well, that's Stan Smith who lives in Doncaster.
Does he have a particular interest?
But it is anyone I can do. No, but if you happen to have, it's actually got quite a mundane toe, but I'm so good at identifying people from their small toes that even if you described quite a mundane toe, I could pick it out. But yeah, it is anyone that I could, it just presumably for the podcast, you pick some celebrities.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's also because I don't really know anyone's small toes. It's not something I'm very aware of. So you just went for the
famous toes that everyone knows.
That's the ones that there are always photos of in all the newspapers and on TV, and the ones that have they've had interviews those small toes, and so those are the ones I knew about.
Yeah.
Do you think your small toe defines you? Do you think it's a big part of you? As a small part.
It's a small part of me.
Yeah.
But it's small toes are like snowflakes, aren't they? There's no two that are the same. That's what it is. It's a unique part of you. If you described a big toe, it could be many different people, but the small toe is unique. That's like when crimes are committed, the police will go in and they will identify by the small toe that's been in there. They've sensed the small toe. Sometimes they get me in. You know, if there's been a crime committed in flip-flops, then they bring me in, show me the CCTV, and I'll be able to identify them. And that does legally hold up in court.
That's amazing. But then I suppose you've got the issues of some people will put a mask on their small toe, or they'll wear those weird socks that have like little toe finger. You know, like they're like gloves, but they're for feet. They freak me out. I don't like them.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
To commit crimes, people are disguising their small toe.
Criminals are sickening. The things they do.
They are sickening.
I'm anti-criminal. I am.
Yes. I'm glad to hear it, Joe. I'm glad to hear you're anti-criminal. Have you got any exceptions? Are there any that you do like a little bit though?
My issue with the criminals is when they cover their small toes. I think if you're honest about it and you have your toes out, then you can commit any crime that you want. But it's the sneakiness of covering your small toes. I think it's dishonest.
It is dishonest. It's really dishonest. And I think, you know, all our listeners to the show, you know, don't hide your little toe.
No.
It's deceitful, yeah. I think if anything, maybe cut a hole in your shoe so your little toe pokes out. Is that the best thing to be doing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how, you know, there's lots been said about, you know, broken Britain, that society's all going bad. And I think that none of the politicians, I don't want to get political on this podcast, but I will. None of the politicians are saying what needs to be said, which is that if we all walked around with our little toes out, like we used to, you know, in the war, which we all lived through because we're grown ups, we lived through the war. We used to walk around with our toes out, didn't we? And things were better, and there wasn't any crime, apart from the war. But there wasn't any crime because we had our toes out, and things were better.
That's true. And I mean, if you think about the Romans, who definitely didn't do anything bad.
No
ever.
Bad things done.
They
by the
they
Romans,
always had sandals with their toes out, and then the ancient Egyptians, and whenever you look at all those old books, they've always got sandals with their toes poking out, and they were all lovely, weren't they? All lovely people. They didn't do any horrid things.
Yeah. I think so. That's my understanding anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to think if I read anything about Romans that was bad. But I think they generally just wore sort of like blankety, togery clothes and put leaves on their head and et stuff. I'm sure that's all it was.
I think so, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense to me. Well, I like it. I think you know, I don't know if... I've just sort of come to me as well about a bit of an innovation, but maybe if people are in the colder weather worried about having their toes out, maybe little sort of shoes with see-through bits at the front, little glass-fronted Cinderella-type shoes, and then you could just see the little toe, but it's not so cold.
Yeah, or a toe ID pass you could wear on a lanyard. Is that what they're called?
Oh,
a
lanyard. That's nice. I like that.
Having a lanyard with a little picture of your toe on. And
yes.
That will get you in, you know, to anywhere, I think. Just show your toe lanyard and they go, all right, we know who you are.
That's very handy. You can really go anywhere, even sort of top secret facilities.
Yeah.
Show your toe and away you go. I think that's the catchphrase, isn't it? That's the T-shirt. Show your toe and away you go. That's the slogan for the people. Yeah. Wow. Well, listen, Joe, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. And thank you already. So much insight into the world of small toes, which I don't think any of us knew about before. I've got a question that's been sent in that I know that you are the man that can answer this. And I do need your help with it. However, before I get there, I'm afraid I do have a couple of admin questions. How do you feel about admin questions?
Oh, I love admin. Yeah.
Yeah. Big fan. OK, that's good. I've got two. Yeah. Is that an all right amount?
Yeah, two's good. Two's good.
Good. Great, good. Well, the first one of these, I think it's quite straightforward, but see how you go. The first one of these is quite simply, what is this?
Oh, I've never seen one of those before.
Neither have I. That's why I'm asking. I'm baffled by it.
I mean, it's a colour that I've never seen before. And it's pointy, but soft at the same time. And it's I mean... I can't. This is just on audio. This podcast, isn't it? So people
yes,
won't
it
be
is,
able to see.
Yeah.
But to describe it, it's sort of big and small at the same time. It's like a. It's like I don't know. Is it alive?
I don't know. I mean, I found it in the fridge, and my.
Right.
I suppose my main concern is, can I eat it or should I definitely not eat it?
I would not eat it. I think that is some sort of protect, but I wouldn't let it out.
Oh.
I'd keep it in some sort of tank.
Oh, dear.
If you let it out, is there more... Is it roaming free?
I let it have a little run around the living room earlier. I just thought it was probably best. I don't really know. You know, normally I don't know whether to treat it like a pet or a sandwich filling. And that's my worry, because pets probably need a little run around the living room. Sandwich filling probably should stay in the fridge.
Yeah, it's tricky. Those are the two things, aren't they? It's definitely one of the two.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other categories, are there? It's not a car.
No, I think that's... So, yeah, I think those are the two. Yeah, pet, sandwich filling, or car. That's what I look when I see a thing.
Yeah.
That's just how I categorize things. I go pet, sandwich filling, car.
It's the not game. A car,
obviously. You're not playing, cars you must have played. Wheels and...
There's that game, isn't there? There's that guessing game you can play, and it's pet, sandwich filling, or car. And you have to give clues, and people have to work out which one of the three things you are. It's very famous.
Yeah. But and then you start and you go, well, it's not a car, obviously. That's like the first thing everyone says. Because as you know, nothing is a car, is it? Nothing is a car.
No, no.
Not even a car is a car. That is a pet.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? That is true. And also sometimes you think it's a car and you start describing it and you find out it's a tricycle.
Yeah. And a tricycle is a pet, yeah.
Also a pet, yes. Also, yes, you're right, yes.
Tricycles are those ones that are like... They've got big floppy ears and four legs.
Yeah.
And they make like a sort of barking noise.
That's right, yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's a tricycle, yeah.
Yeah.
Sandwich filling or pet? Oh, I don't know. I think I'd keep it in a tank. I'd feed it, take it for walks, but on a lead.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work after a week, put in a bit of sourdough.
Right, lovely. That's very good. Very good advice. That's very good advice. It's, yeah, it is tricky, isn't it? Because I think looking at it, part of me is like, do I put a collar on it? Would it go nice with a little bit of mayonnaise? And it's
where
it's
would you put the collar though? Where would you put the collar? It's got no neck.
No, one of the pointy bits.
Yeah, yeah,
right. I don't know. You're right. That already makes me think maybe mayonnaise is the way forward.
Maybe in a big hamster ball. Maybe just have it roaming around in one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very, I don't know how it got there. I don't know what it's doing. You know, it's, so, yeah. I'm also slightly worried someone bought it thinking that they'd have it for lunch and they've left it there. They haven't labelled it. And now I might eat it and, you know, or take it for a walk and I've ruined it for someone else. But
do you know, when my work, sorry, I know that this is a kids podcast and you know, we're talking about stuff from where we're grown up. So when I was growing up, there used to be a phone line you could phone, couldn't there? And you'd phone it up and it was pet or sandwich filling and you describe it on the phone line and then they someone from the local council would give you advice on pet or sandwich filling. But that's all been cut back now, isn't it?
It's terrible. And Google's not very helpful. You put in Google pet or sandwich filling and it just says, oh, you're looking for pet or sandwich filling. Would you like another pet or sandwich filling? And then it just advertises you like shark paste or something. And it's like, I don't want that.
No, it's all sponsored ads, But it used to, that was great, that phone line,
It was. And what
a lot of you remember the numbers, don't you? It was 0072-465-214-6987-00000-10-0?7824-222-222-222-222-222-4, wasn't it? We'd all remember that.
It was.
If you had a pet slash sandwich filling, you just call it up and they were sort of...
But what's amazing is because like of the old way the phones worked and how they lined up with letters as well, if you spelt out, is it a pet or is it a sandwich? I just don't know. Can you help? Then it would call the number automatically.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, it's very clever. Very clever.
The kids don't want to hear about us reminiscing about the old days where you could call that number.
They don't. It's very boring. They don't really even know what a telephone is or how it worked, let alone, you know, the idea that someone might be at the other end of it giving advice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Everything's changed.
That's right. Nowadays, I don't even know how you would find out a pet or a sandwich. You probably have to go into Roblox and find a very specific room and answer a riddle. I don't know. It's I don't think it's easy anymore. Yeah.
It's all confusing now, yeah.
Well, Joe, you've given me some great advice on this, thank you. And I think for the moment,
you're welcome.
I will take your advice and give it a week at least, and then tuck in. Yeah. Thank you. Well, Joe, amazing. That's admin question number one out of the way. Thank you very much. Number two, this is hard. I think this question is very hard, and you know, please take your time about this. Think about it. So, Joe, would you rather have 1,000 times the amount of teeth that you do, or every time you try to sit down, a small rodent called Stanley puts spiky things on the seat?
Can you repeat the question?
Would you rather have 1,000 times the amount of teeth that you do, or every time you're about to sit down, a small rodent called Stanley puts spiky things on your seat?
So right now, I've got, what would it be, 30 teeth? What's a human tooth count? About 30.
I guess. I don't really know. It's more than kids. Kids have got like 3 teeth or something. And then I guess adults must have more than that. So we must have, we've either
I think
got
you get one every year,
30.
Don't you? You start with one when you're 1 year old. And then, but if you're very, very old, you get like 100 teeth.
I think that's that must be how it works.
Yeah. When you get your 100th tooth, the king sends you one of his in the post.
That's right. And then you're not allowed to put that under your pillow for the tooth fairy because it's the king's tooth.
No.
And that's how you get thrown in jail. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you're talking 1,000. So we're talking, thousands of teeth is what you'd have. Would they all be in one long line? So it would be like a big, smile going up outside of my face? Or would I get to have rows of teeth like a shark? Or would they not be in my mouth? Maybe I could have some teeth in my eyes And I could look at people with my teeth instead of my eyes.
That's true, isn't it? Well, because it just says 1,000 times the amount of teeth, so it doesn't specify where they are. You could have teeth under your armpits. You could have teeth on your bum. Like, you don't know where those teeth are going to be. I think I'd sort of imagine a very full mouth of teeth.
That's what you imagine, right.
But that's what I imagine. It doesn't mean that's how it would be.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I think I'd want choice of where to put, because teeth are quite hardy, aren't they?
Yes.
They're, so if I had them on the soles of my feet, I wouldn't need to wear shoes in the summer.
Oh, I could just have your little toe out.
Teeth. Yeah, I could. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
It'd be good. As you said, you could have some on your bum and you could slide along on the teeth.
Yeah.
I think it would
leave bite marks in a slide. That's what would be bad. You'd go down the slide and at the bottom people would be like, who's been eating the slide? And it'd be the teeth on your bum, and that would be bad.
Yeah, but I've already had my slide by then. I don't mind. Care, yeah.
That's fair.
I don't care what they think after I've been on. Sure. I mean, this sounds brilliant. The other one was getting bitten, wasn't it? What was the other option?
No, the other one is every time you sit down, a small rodent called Stanley puts like spiky things on your seat. So wherever you're about to sit down, this rodent runs in, puts a load of spikes, and then when you sit down, you sat on the spikes.
That sounds horrible.
It is. It's really mean. I don't know why he does it.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Do I
know
what
his name is Stanley?
I think he leaves a business card.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, so I know it's Stanley.
You know,
but I can't do anything about it. I can't.
No.
I can't hunt him down and stop him. I've just
You can't. But you could wear sort of spike protection on your bum. Like you could. You know, there's nothing stopping you wearing bum armor, butt armor, or whatever.
The great. If I can use the great irony would be that if I could have both of these options, I could protect my bum with the teeth.
With the teeth, yeah.
And then I wouldn't mind the spiky things being put down. But it's a would you? It's one or the other, isn't it?
Well, I wonder. So, you see, it is one or the other because I think if you had teeth on your bum, Stanley probably wouldn't bother because he'd think, "What's the point?"
When exactly. You've got bum teeth.
So
yeah.
Yeah,
no, I take the teeth full tooth all over my body.
Wow,
like a sort of disco ball.
That is wonderful. I suppose the one curveball that we haven't thought of yet is how long it would take to brush your teeth every day.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but you have to. The reason you brush your teeth is because you've been eating sweets and things, and then you have to brush off your teeth. Don't you? So I think that unless I was rubbing sherbet all over my body, I don't think I would need to brush the other teeth.
You would have to change your habits.
Unfortunately, I do get up in the morning and I get a sherbet dab and I use the lolly and I just rub it all over my body. So I would have to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be a small price to pay to not have the spikes.
I think so.
No, I'm going to go for teeth.
That's very sensible. Very sensible. Thank you for examining all the evidence there and just sort of going through it. I appreciate that. It's a very sensible answer. Thank you. And thank you for answering the admin questions, which leads us to the big question that we've been sent in this week, which has been sent in from Ellen. But Ellen has put a question mark at the end of her name. So I think she's Ellen, which is quite mysterious.
Or do you think it's Ellen, but then as they wrote it, they became unsure of their name, had like an identity crisis.
Yes, possibly. Am I Ellen? Would Ellen ask this question? Perhaps she wouldn't. Yes, that's interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. Or perhaps it was passed on. I don't know who delivered this message. Perhaps they thought they'd got it from Ellen.
Oh,
but they weren't
sure. Do you
think
there's lots of people shouting questions?
Yes.
And then whoever I don't know, someone in admin is typing up the questions, but not sure who said them.
Yes. I think that makes a lot of sense. So that it could be Ellen. It could be huge Gregory. You know, we don't know. We don't know who's. But it's probably
you'd recognise Huge Gregory's voice, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Very real deep baritone, yeah.
Very big, yeah.
But I understand the point you're making, yes.
Yes, it's probably the wrong person to choose. You're right, I should have said, like, Small Sue or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Ellen has asked this question, and I'm going to ask it to you. I feel like I should, well, I'll have to maybe put in some, you know, some extra context to this. But Ellen has asked, why do smelly hippos get so much attention from you and me? And Joe, what I should probably say is that I am quite an expert in stinky hippos, which a lot of our listeners like to send in via email. Smelly hippos, I can't say I know a lot about.
Right. Well, yeah, that's why you got me on, wasn't it? Because I'm halfway through my degree in hippo studies.
Yes.
I've learned, ironically, I've learned about smelly hippos, but I haven't learned about stinky hippos. So combined, we've got sort of a, I mean, I know a bit about stinky hippos, you know, the stuff that we all sort of know about, but I wouldn't feel qualified to talk with any authority on stinky hippos.
Well, that's fair. I mean, there are quite a lot of
hippos I can talk about.
I don't think people realise how many different types of hippos there are. There's also nicely fragrant hippos, which I know nothing about, but I understand they smell rather lovely, like sort of freshly baked bread or perhaps sort of clean sheets.
Fresh linen, yeah.
Yes, that's it, fresh linen, yeah. Yeah, they're meant to be quite nice. I think there's also pongy hippos.
I was going to say pongy hippos.
Yeah. And I don't know what the difference... I don't know what their particular odour is, but I think it's quite tangy.
That's my understanding. Again, I haven't done the pongy, because I don't, for people, this is, you know, we're talking to younger children, but when you get to university, you do your first year smelly hippos, and then the second, there's different course options. So you can choose the pongy hippos or the stinky hippos or the nicely fragrant hippos. And that's when you sort of specialise in different hippo areas.
Yes, that's it. And there's quite a lot to go through. And as I said, I don't think people realise the amount of different variety of hippos there are. But obviously, Ellen is asking very specifically about smelly hippos. And also she said, why do they get so much attention from you and me? So clearly, she's paying a lot of attention to them.
She's like an aspiring hippoologist.
Maybe. Is that the correct term? Is that what you'd say? Hippoologist?
Yeah. Hippology, the study of hippology. Yeah.
Right.
Because not to be confused with hippology, because that's the study of hips. It's very different.
Right. What's the study of things that are fresh and hip?
That I think that's hipsterology.
Hipsterology, right, that's it.
Yeah,
yes.
There's also hippieology,
right,
which is the study of sort
right,
of
sure.
hippies. Hip-hopology. Study of hip-hop music, shipology, which is the study of ships.
Yes, there's also, different. Am I right in thinking there's hypopology, which is the study of people saying hello to their dads in America?
Yeah, that's it.
It's quite a lot, really, yeah. A lot to learn, a lot to think about. But she is probably studying hippology. Smelly hippology. And that's nice to know. I'm glad she's learning. I'm glad she's got a goal. And that's aspiring to hear about. But I suppose then the question is why do they get so much attention from you and me and Ellen and everybody? I don't know who's paying attention, but lots of people are paying attention to smelly hippos. Why?
Well, the hippos are fascinating creatures because I don't know if you know, but they're quite dangerous hippos, aren't they? You think of them as friendly, friendly animals, but they are very dangerous. But vegetarian,
right.
That's what I know about hippos.
Right. Sure.
Dangerous. That was the first. As I said, only the first year I've done.
Sure. Yeah.
I've done vegetarian, very dangerous stuff about they are smelly. I haven't specialised. Yet, but
and it took you a year.
It's fascinating. Yeah, that took me.
Sure, it's a lot of information.
Well, there was lots of, you know, there's lots of when you register, you've got to get your student card and stuff like that.
It should take some while,
as well. So it's not all studying straight away. You have to learn about the library, the Dewey Decimal System, and how to get books out, that sort of thing.
But I
think that is fascinating to me. A dangerous vegetarian. So they want to eat. They just want to eat tofu and corn. But it's dangerous. They're just violent.
Yes, yes. I suppose they don't want anything to get in their way from eating tofu and corn.
That's what it is, isn't it? They've seen it. If a hippo sees a nice vegetarian restaurant, you've got to get out of the way because that hippo is going to be running over to that soya.
It could be. I mean, I also, I'm a vegetarian and I can vouch for the, sometimes there's a sort of stereotype about vegetarians that we fart quite horrendously because of the amount of vegetables and sort of soya that we might eat. And I can vouch that is absolutely true. I can absolutely fart like a champion. And I wondered, is that why, do you think smelly hippos are just digesting so much good fibrous vegetables, so much cabbage, so much of the, you know, baked beans. Is that why they're smelly?
That must be it. We've solved it. Yeah.
Well,
good vegetarian diet. Yeah. It makes them smelly from the farts.
Yeah.
Another reason they're dangerous.
Yes. Well, I suppose, but a good warning, you know, if you get a whiff of that, you know you're possibly near a dangerous hippo / a very good vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah, so you should plan for the hippo, I think.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Because it's not worth the risk, is it? You know, and I'm vegetarian as well. But if you a nice vegetarian food is great, but it's not worth the risk of getting trampled by a hippo.
No, that is true. That is true. And I suppose the danger is you go to a vegetarian restaurant. A smelly hippo smells the restaurant. You might get trampled by a hippo.
You're just in the drawing middle of in your the hippos, aren't
main
you?
Main course, yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, yeah. When I hear about someone who went to a vegetarian restaurant and got trampled by a hippo, I've got no sympathy for them because you knew what was going to happen. The hippos will come to the vegetarian restaurants. They will trample over everyone at the vegetarian restaurant. So if you're going to go to a vegetarian restaurant, wear a hard hat.
That's a very sensible. Very sensible thing to say, actually, yes. And that should be enough, I think. Hard hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have thought so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe an umbrella.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Yeah, good idea. And some knee pads. Oh, I mean, not necessarily for the hippo. It's just always good in case you fall on your knees.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm wearing knee pads at all times. Yeah,
Me too. Even when I sleep, I think it's necessary.
Hmm.
But Joe, I suppose that the main thing here is that Ellen's asking, you know, why do they get so much attention? Why do we care? Why do they keep stealing the limelight, these smelly hippos? Why do we all want to know all about them at all possible times of day?
From they're stealing the limelight from other stinky and pongy hippos.
Indeed, I suppose, or other animals or other anything, really. It's I'm guessing that Ellen, I don't know about yourself, Joe, Ellen's obviously doing nothing but paying attention to smelly hippos 24/7.
Yeah. Which is dangerous if you're crossing the road.
Very dangerous, yeah.
You've got to, this again, you know, my advice to young people is if you're crossing the road, stop paying attention to smelly hippos just for the time that you pay attention to the cars, to the traffic lights, and you know, make sure you're crossing safely. Don't pay attention to the hippos.
Yes, yes, and the cars that might be pets, it's also worth pointing out there.
Of course, cars don't exist, so when you are crossing the road, remember the cars don't exist, but there could be pets that look like
large
cars
pets.
That
can also be dangerous.
Large pets, yeah. There could be a big iguana that looks like a Ford Fiesta, but it's actually you still got to be careful crossing the roads, even though cars don't exist.
Yes, and then when you've crossed the road, if there's a vegetarian restaurant there, that's when you pay attention to the smelly
That's when hippos. You put your hard hat on, pay attention to the smelly hippos, and keep a lookout.
Yeah, and I guess it's just, you know, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, even us talking now, I can see why people are so interested in smelly hippos and you know, fascinating.
Yeah, they're fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Well, any tips, anything that Ellen can kind of, obviously she's studying hippology, so and good for her for doing that, but would it be safer for her to change tact, focus on a different type of animal, something else entirely? What would you recommend?
No, I think, you know, if you're passionate about smelly hippos, you should follow your passions. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that they are fascinating creatures. You know, there will be people who will try and bring you down and will go, "Oh, well, you're not thinking about stinky weasels enough," or whatever. Mm. But don't listen to them. Follow your heart. If you want to be a hippoologist, then go. You know, obviously have a backup. Have a backup trade. Yeah.
Just
you know, learn carpentry as well, just in case the hippo. Ology doesn't work out, but still follow your heart, follow your passion.
It's beautiful words, Joe. Thank you very much. Very inspiring. Very inspiring having you on the show today, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you having time to inspire us with all your toe knowledge and also answer Ellen's very powerful, important question. Have you got a busy life ahead? What are you doing in the next sort of three or four decades?
I'm thinking of, well, as we said, cars don't exist, but I was thinking of inventing the car so that it can exist. So my idea is, four wheels, some sort of engine.
Yeah.
We're talking decades, aren't we? So, you know, I'm so arrogant that I would be saying, "Oh, I'm just going to knock this out over a weekend." Mm. You know, I'm talking about decades of work. Sure. But yeah, four wheels is going to go with. But I'm open-minded, but you know, I'm not set on that. Four wheels, some sort of engine. Bonnet, some seats. I was thinking of seat belts. Well, one or two per seat, I was thinking.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And but not all on, not per, but per seat. Do you know what I mean? So like, so four seat car would have eight seat belts, but they'd all be on one seat, so you'd be wrapped up like a mummy. And then
I love it. That's well. Great. So one person is very safe, and everyone else is not safe at all.
Well, actually, that one person's got so many seat belts that they are stuck, so it becomes unsafe. They're sort of, I guess, sort of mummified by the seatbelts. Steering wheel, brake, clutch, another pedal. I haven't really thought about the third one yet. That's what I'm working with at the moment.
What do you think it would run on? Anything in mind? Or
well, yeah, I was thinking we could take dinosaurs and just sort of crash them down.
Right, sure. Very big,
and then burn them. Yeah. Well, no, but I'll crush them down into like a liquid. And then.
It sounds very horrible to dinosaurs. I'm not sure you should.
It's got silly now, isn't it? I'm sorry, I've got silly.
It just feels mean to the dinosaurs as well. I don't know what they've done to upset you, Joe, to be crushed down.
I've ruined it. I've got very silly. I'm sorry.
Well, but I'm sure there's something else. Like they could probably run on milkshake or something. They could probably run on. Sort of vegetable stock cubes. You know, I'm sure there's something else out there that would work.
You're right. These are just, you know, I've just got big ideas, you know, I'm thinking. Yeah, and the dinosaur thing was silly, and I feel silly for saying it now. But I'm working on it. It'll run on something.
Hey, it's good to brainstorm these ideas, and hopefully our chat today's, you know, just helped with that progress, and maybe, who knows, by sort of 2157... You know, we'll see a car that you've invented.
What I would say to listeners is don't steal my idea of a car.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And if I see listeners in a car, I will know that you've stolen my idea and I will be angry.
Wow.
So that's my idea, a car.
Yeah.
So don't anyone take a car.
Whew. Well, hopefully, I hope they listen to that. And if I see anyone driving a car, pointing
let
at
me
a car,
know.
I'll let you know, and you can...
I can pursue legal action.
Absolutely. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, Joe. Well, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
And travel through time as we please.
Thanks so much to Joe Wells for having time in between finding the ends of rainbows and stopping people from using cars to answer Ellen's question. Ellen, I do hope you liked your answer, and if not, please attach any complaints that you have to the type of hippo of your choice, and chances are that Strange Jerry will clean them before I get a chance to see them. If you have a question that you need to have answered, then please do ask your fart fermentation chambers, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And of course, you can send in anything else you like. If those same grown-ups want to support this show, they can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition for a small monthly fee at Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus, and our Patreon. And there is also comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all other things too. And don't forget, listen to last week's podcast if you haven't heard it, and do enter in the competition to win the Beasts of Knobbly Bottom books. Do send those in ASAP. Jerry, I'm not sure what's going on, but there's still more mail. So carry on cleaning the hippos. I really want this T-Rex to stop staring at me. It's very unnerving. Right, sorry, listeners. Joss the Boss sent in this review. Wow, an actual boss. Well, I hope you let your staff listen to this show too, Joss the Boss. They say, please read this. Snowman emoji. Hello, I'm Jocelyn from Coventry. I am 9 on the 18th of March. Joss Alin. I love the podcast. Also, snowflake emoji, umbrella, strawberry, peach, that always looks like a bum, pineapple, aubergine, garlic, olives, cake, sushi, pizza, burger, empty jar, bone, knife and fork, bowl with a spoon in it, jug of water, I think, chocolate bar, jug of water, ice cube, bow and arrow, and somersault. Thanks! Wow. Well, belated happy birthday, Jocelyn. I'm so sorry we've missed it on the show. But I guess now by the time you hear this, you'll be happily 9 years old, or when you stand on your head, 6 years old. And either of those is a win.
No, her birthday isn't for 140 million years.
Jerry, what are you talking about? Oh, I see. We've gone back in time to dinosaur time, so her birthday is still to come.
No, a dinosaur just popping by. Yeah, of course, you nincompoop, we've gone back in time. I clean the hippos to get the time travel energy. Oh no, I clean them too much. Now we're in the future. And Jocelyn's birthday was 200 million years ago.
Jerry, go and make those hippos less clean, Jerry. I don't want to be in the future, 200 million years in the future. I don't know what's going on outside. There seems to be very upset robots. I just want to go back to 2024.
Okay, Zeus.
Right. I don't know what's going on. Let me just check. We've got Ghost Girl Crazy, who says, I know who Linda is. She's an artist and is very cool. I went to her exhibition. Wow, Linda has an exhibition. I hope we get back in time to the right year for me to see that. I do worry I'd turn up and there'd just be no artwork there at all, and everyone would just be pretending to look at art, but actually it was just blank walls. But I'll try and track the exhibition down. Thank you, Ghost Girl Crazy. Maybe I'll try and track down Linda too by leaving out some paints. And Panda the Jellyfish has sent in a lot of soap to stop the stinky hippos from being quite so stinky, and also a slide, because why not? So thank you, Panda. But as you can hear, the stinky hippos are now too clean, so I'm going to have to save the soap for another occasion. But thank you for the slide. Yeah, that slide was great. Oh, cool. Right. Are we back home? It just seems normal out the window. There's not really much going on out there. I think that seems about right.
Jerry, all done. Your bill come in the post. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Wow. Thanks, Jerry. What a strange man. But it does smell a lot nicer in here. And I guess we're now back to the right time. Hang on. What's this just outside the window? It's me. It's Comedy Club for Kids HQ, but outside. But I'm here on the inside.
Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense.
That's the beginning of the show, Jerry. We're too early, Jerry. Jerry!
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio Nonsense! Radio Nonsense!
Radio Nonsense!
Radio Nonsense! Since it's the end.